and welcome to Dopey, the podcast on drugs, addiction, and other dumb shit. And my name is Dave, and today is not really the show. This is the Tuesday Patreon teaser. So you're going to get a small glimpse of an unfiltered, unedited, super raw talk with reggae superstar Modest Yahoo. And that is exclusively on Patreon. So join Patreon at www.patreon.com/dopeypodcast. If you're a dopey listener, you know, if you're a regular dopey listener, it's basically the least you could do. And then you can get so much other dopey stuff. There's videos, there's music. We do 5 Zooms a month. There's a lot of good shit on there. A lot. Sometimes there's writing. There's Just for Today. There's Daily Reflections. Just sign up. At the $5 level, you get a sticker. At the $10 level, you get all the stickers. At the $15 level, you get socks. At the $20 a month level, you get a beanie, socks, stickers, and access to all the Zooms. Go to www.patreon.com/dopeypodcast. If you like Dopey, it will be worth the money. If you don't, it might not be worth the money. Now, people have been very concerned about my mental health because the New York Knicks were eliminated from the playoffs this weekend. And I have to say, it was hard. It was a hard, hard experience. But at the same time, I feel so much relief that it's over. It's like early recovery. I feel a little, actually, it's much better than early recovery. I feel a weight has been lifted from my shoulders. And this last weekend, I got to go to Vermont to do an event with the Phoenix, supporting the Divided Sky Foundation. So that was very, very cool. And I got to be the MC. And Dogs in a Pile played, and Anders Osborne played, and Saints and Liars played. And it was cool. And I met some nice people of the Yellow Balloon community. And we had a very, very nice time. And again, the point of Dopey, if you've never heard before, is to keep drug addicts company. I am a drug addict. I am in recovery. I actually did step work today with one of my many sponsees, because I'm so sober. I have many sponsees, and one of the sponsees worked on step 3 today. So just in case anyone is wondering if we're actually sober, we are. We're very sober. Anyway, here is the Patreon teaser with reggae superstar Modest Yahoo. We're only going to play a bit. I feel like the interview's like 2.5 hours long. So that's a lot of value for a little bit of money. Here's me and Modest. Oh yeah, before I play the teaser, I need to make it clear that Modest Yahoo is the first dopey guest ever to smoke weed and drink while we recorded. So if you listen on Patreon, it is raw, unedited, unfiltered Modest Yahoo time. And that might be triggering also. But if you're interested, go to Patreon and check it out. Now, here is me and Modest. I like it.
We're rolling.
First ever dopey guest to get high while we make the show. So, congratulations.
I guess, yeah.
No, it's a little bit of an achievement in itself. And we met at Park City Song Summit.
Although I don't get high, you know.
Break it down.
I mean, if you smoked this right now, you would get high.
I get high.
But I could smoke 3 of these right now and not get high.
I think by the third one, you're going to be high.
No.
You will be high.
I don't get high.
I smoked as much weed as anyone could smoke.
I even have a lyric, I don't get high.
But I could say I don't get high too, but it wouldn't mean that I didn't just because I had the lyric.
But I don't get high. Like, I smoke weed, but I don't get high.
Denial is not just a river in Egypt, Modest Yahoo.
No, it's called, isn't it called tolerance?
Right, it's called tolerance. But I'd say
someone who doesn't smoke weed is going to get way higher than someone who does smoke weed regularly.
I'm hoping I get high just sitting next to you. That's kind of my dream, that I could just get high from this.
We might have to talk about that with your recovery.
With my sponsor?
Therapist, your sponsor. Let's start with that. Okay, why is it? Why is it, David?
Yes, Modest Yahoo.
That you have this excitement. I see. It's true. It's like you could get high without getting high. And you're very excited about that idea.
Well, I have to say that marijuana is one of my greatest loves.
Okay, that's the answer.
I love it. I don't get to be around it anymore, so I'm excited to see it still lives. Right. It's happy answer. To see me too. I'm happy to see it.
What are your thoughts on California sober?
I mean, it's a phrase. it's like, you know, it's like putting I don't get high into a song, but getting high.
Right.
I don't think it's sober.
Right.
But it's not using heroin or crack.
What would you say to someone who did do a lot of heroin?
Yes.
Went to rehab.
Yes.
Considered themselves a drug addict.
Yes.
Got sober.
Uh-huh.
Then decided to start smoking weed.
Mm-hmm.
And then did that for 15 years and without ever returning to heroin or doing another drug.
I think that's fantastic.
Would you say they weren't really an addict to begin with?
No, I don't say stuff like that. I'd say it's fantastic. I'd say, listen, for me, right, I was a great stoner, lover of weed, smoking weed, weed culture. And then I became a heroin addict, you know, and I was at my first rehab. And they're like, write your goodbye letter to your drug. And my goodbye letter was, heroin is the whore that took me away from my true love, weed.
Yeah.
And I tried to go back to weed. And I always wound up on pills or heroin.
So that's why I'm saying, I think for the majority of addicts, the California sober thing doesn't work because they eventually go back to the harder drugs. But I think there is a small percentage of people that that are like addictive nature who
we like actually, to call them addicts.
Addicts, right? But they never go back to the bad one or the bad ones that tore their life apart. And in that case, they're an addict in the sense, let's say, that they're medicating every day, right? So maybe they're not getting in touch with certain deeper levels of themselves or doing certain types of work, but they are functioning, right, let's say. And maybe they are still able to do deeper realms of work, maybe not at the pace of someone who was sober, but still in a slower path.
I'm not against.
Right. No, I'm just saying there is a percentage of that. I think there's like a large percentage of people that started doing drugs early and then went to rehabs and counseling and were told they were drug addicts, then got sober, and then that works for them in their life and go through their life with the myth that they're an addict when in fact
they weren't.
They never were, and it's just the sober lifestyle is a great lifestyle, you know, especially you have community, you have therapy, you have all these tools to get you going in the right way. And they're just like, oh, this is awesome. Yeah, I'm an addict, right? But maybe some people like yourself maybe like dabbled in and out and in and out for years and years and every time came back to the same result, getting, you know, kind of destroyed by it.
My thing was that by the time I was at my last not doing heroin place, you know, and I would just smoke weed after work. I wasn't even waking up in the morning and smoking weed. I just knew, I know that for me, my addiction ended like, or my using ended when I wrote a letter to my wife begging her to come back to me and just letting me smoke pot, like this begging letter. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, I'm going to try to not smoke pot. And the thing about it for me is like, if I smoke pot, I'll be like, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I'll need it on a daily basis. And then like, and then what? Whatever. I mean, I'm really... I have to tell you this. Like, I met you at Park City. I saw you talk with
this little talk I did
with what's his face, the guitar player.
Who was that with?
He's a very famous jammy guitar player, like Eric Krasno.
Oh, Kras interviewed. We spoke together. Yeah,
and I loved it. And there's so many things about your story that I'm like in on.
Yeah.
Like I'm connected to your story.
Yep.
You know, we both grew up in New York.
We both love weed.
Both love weed. And I grew up like playing ska music and being around reggae bands.
We both love reggae.
Love reggae. And there's more stuff. I'm so interested in I think your story is so fucking cool and interesting. And you were just saying they're making a movie about you, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. For many years, we've been trying to make this movie. It's been 25 years. I was making a record with David Kahn. In the city, Ganzevoort, like down in the meatpacking. And there is a woman named Bonnie Timmerman. She's sort of a legend in the Hollywood world, casting director who has found everyone under the sun that you could imagine from a certain 30-year era. And I was going to meet her about a music for his for her movie about a Jewish about a, sorry about an African American kid who was like the next big rapper, and I think under Puffy's label, true story, gets into like a street fight and ends up doing his ends up living in an old age Jewish nursing home in the Bronx, like one of the
awesome.
And so they were interested in my music for it, you know. So I went to meet her, and I was holding an orange because I wouldn't eat in the restaurant. So normally I would have people like meet me at a kosher restaurant. So she like is Bonnie Timmerman. She doesn't come meet you at a kosher restaurant. You meet her at whatever hotel she's at, whether it's the Chateau or whatever it is, you know. Everybody knows her, everyone. So I walk in. I have no idea about anything. I've been studying in yeshiva for a few years now, and, you know, newly married with maybe a kid and a couple kids, and deeply religious, deeply, like, according to the rules, you know, like, take the glasses off, walking down the street so you don't see billboards of women that might get you sexually excited or whatever.
All right, that was 8 minutes, the first 8 minutes of the Modest Yahoo talk. The Modest Yahoo talk is very long and very dopey and potentially controversial. I got an email from somebody telling me that I was a traitor to Jews for having Matt Lieb on the show, so I wonder if this makes me less of a traitor. Look for an upcoming segment with my dad on am I traitorous or am I not traitorous? That will be coming in the future. I want to leave you with a lengthy voicemail from hardcore dope Ivy Clark. And check us out. Go to www.patreon.com/dopeypodcast. You'll get so much shit. Amazing show coming up on Friday. I'm going to play Ivy's voicemail. Ivy is also graduating from school this June. So congratulations to Ivy Clark. And here she is.
But my name is Ivy Clark, and I'm excited to be coming up on an anniversary and birthday all in one. And I have to tell you that this upcoming celebration has me reflecting on 4 years ago when I got arrested on my birthday at 10:30 in the morning. I swore the cops could have been picked up themselves for harassing or stalking me, because who gets picked up on their birthday before they even get a chance to get high when they're living out on the streets like I had been? But I definitely wanted to share with you that July 15th is in fact my 4-year clean date and my 46th birthday. And as I'm tripping, future tripping, that is, when I turn 50, if I keep on the same track, I'll have 8 years sobriety, which is more than the 7 years I had when I first came in at 19 to the 12-step rooms. So that arrest got me cursing and swearing at the police at 10:30 in the morning because, of course, I was frustrated that they'd even bothered with me on my birthday and my tantrum that I threw all the way to the main jail in Redwood City was so loud that by the time I arrived to be taken in, there were almost 9 female officers ready to manhandle me out of the car. And I told them, as loud as I could, get the F away from me, back the F up, because it's my birthday and I am not a happy camper. Do not want a single person touching me. But when I did get taken in, they got me for a felony, even though I had been prowling around for water. It was on the city corpse yard where they maintain all the city vehicles, including the cop and fire trucks and maintenance vehicles, and they all happened to be unlocked. So me prowling in magenta pink pants got me identified on camera. And sure enough, I got to spend 8 months in jail, which started a streak of clean time for me that managed to get longer after enrolling in a residential program that was 90 days and then a year program thereafter to show myself that I didn't have to go back to my old lifestyle since I had spent 8 to 10 years in shelters and encampments on the side of the freeway. So one of those experiences in my camp was surviving a fire. And I know I want to outdo some of the guys' stories that get told on Dopey Nation. But when I woke up, I heard somebody screaming, "Is anybody going to do anything about that fire?" And it turns out that somebody had gotten into an argument with their boyfriend, lit our back tent on fire that had our tools and bikes in it. And I came out of the tent going, "What fire?" And sure enough, I turn around and there's 10-foot flames encroaching on our main tent. And before the cops arrived, several people helped put the fire out. And one of them had a warrant. And thank God the officer had a good heart that day. He gave the guy a court date instead of taking him in on his warrant, telling him that he did a good job being a firefighter. So that was awesome. But I noticed that there were some people that got arrested and some people that didn't, so not so frequently. And so I started inquiring with the OGs that were on the streets and to why they didn't get arrested as frequently. And I found out that they were able to outsmart the search and seize opportunities that the officers thought they would be able to make an arrest, because they would hide their shit in a cut off finger of a glove, safety pin to the bottom of their zipper in their pants. And they said when they got patted down, since there was already padding down there, they never got caught with their stash. But there were times that I feel guilty for even explaining to people what my high felt like on meth, and was embarrassed of my name for a time, because Ivy was the type of user that I became, even though I had swore off that I would never become that type of user. And to be honest with you, quite a few people wanted me to help them get high the way that I was using, because I described the high in such a way that they would obsess that they needed to experience that. And I guess, not to tempt anybody any further, but I guess I have to disclose how I described it, which for me was like a lava experience from head to toe, and settled in to where it was like a cream your pants kind of high. And definitely made sex quite the experience. But I refused to participate in helping somebody try their first time through injection, and ultimately ended up shaving my head and creating a new pseudo name with the police officers and the staff at hospitals, to where it got me my own room, because I would call myself Simon, refusing to want to be associated with my name since I wasn't that type of user anymore and didn't want the hospital staff to inject me with any drugs that they chose to subdue me. So the game became Simon Says. And if they didn't refer to me as Simon, I would refuse to respond to Ivy. And I know this recording's getting a little bit longer, but I had fun on the street with people delivering bike trailers worth of costumes from Party City dumpsters, and ended up rhyming X-rated Dr. Seuss expressions in costume while we would declare it a costume night or pajama party night through different people's encampments. So with all that said, I hope that I can let you know that life's a lot better now that I'm housed, just as of this last January, a block from the beach, trying to walk every morning to lose the jail weight that I got during those 8 months. Because I went from 130 when they picked me up, as frail as could be, to, because my normal weight was 180, and I checked out 8 months later at 260. So I definitely morphed from one skinny little frail being to a husky girl. But I definitely hope that I've inspired somebody to put together one day after the next, as I've had to realize that getting to my 50th birthday will be one day at a time, as we all have to acquire it just the same. But it's well worth it, and hopefully there'll be a day where I can come on Dopey Podcast and share some more stories from all the survival trips that I'd love to be able to make a movie out of, since most people are immune, or think they're immune, but are very susceptible to being able to end up right out on the streets like anyone else is, that's out there. So have a great day, and I hope to hear from you guys soon. Thanks. Bye.
All right. That's Ivy Clark. Ivy's working on a book. I love Ivy. Thank you for sending that in. You get Dopey socks. Please send in Dopey emails and voicemails to dopeypodcast@gmail.com. Please sign up for Patreon at www.patreon.com/dopeypodcast. Stay strong, Dopey Nation, and fucking toodles for Chris.
I don't know. I'm going to play this song, but only because I think it'll make me look a little bit very tired. I'm just going to start an outro. really like it.
You do.
And you know why I like
it. Yeah, you do tell me if you didn't like it.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can relate to the calling your dad for
it. Dude, it's just really good. Like, where did you write that? I like the lyrics. I hope they can hear.